Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 77 of season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Sean German of the Next Scene podcast. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean. So, thanks for having me back. Glad to be here once again.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back also. You know, we've already heard each other's stories anyway. So, minute 77 begins with Harry and Sally eating noisily and ends with Harry and Jess crossing the street. So yesterday we ended things off with Harry and Sally in this fancy restaurant, both relieved that the other one believes that they made a mistake. And then they just start, you know, getting ready to eat their salad. And today we begin with them eating their salad. And they're both eating noisily. I mean, I think Harry is eating much louder than Sally. I mean, one of the things you mentioned yesterday, Sean, was, is, you know, in movies, sometimes, you know, they have too many, the people are eating too much and stuff like that. But I think it really works for this scene. You know, the fact that, you know, the both of, they're both so uncomfortable. They, even after they've both established the fact that, you know, they both made the right decision by saying that there was a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. But they still have nothing to talk about to one another, you know. And Harry just says, "All right, I'm just gonna eat," and that's it. And he starts chomping away at his salad, and it's actually very funny in the commentary. So there we have like a minute or two where Rob Reiner and Billy Crystal are discussing the fact that, you know, this is the way to eat food in movies. You know, when you're filming a movie, because when you have to do a scene over and over and over, you need to do it in a way where you're not going to get sick, but you also need to do it in a way where the food isn't being encumbersome to the conversation, to what's going on in the movie itself. So they point out that if you pay attention, Harry is only eating these white vegetables on the side. They mentioned the name of it. I can't remember what the name of the vegetable is, but apparently that's a vegetable that wouldn't make too much, you know, wouldn't be very obtrusive for him to be eating along the way. Mm-hmm. And Sally's eating, but she's more nibbling, I guess you can say, with what's going on. And we basically have 20 something seconds where, you know, nobody's saying anything. We just hear the crunching sound of the salad. So I think it's a great choice to have the salad there just to accentuate, you know, the uncomfortableness of the two of them. You know, these two characters, yeah, who've been so comfortable with each other throughout this entire movie.
Yeah. And it is, yeah, it's you know, crisp vegetables. So something that's going to have crunch that we can hear to just, yeah, accentuate the silence and, yeah. Like, question, you know, there's a difference. Is this that they're comfortable not talking, as, you know, as Harry says, it's, you know, that we can, it's nice we can sit here and not talk, or is this really an uncomfortable silence that he's just trying to,
yeah,
you know, he's trying to cover over that.
Right. I believe it's an uncomfortable silence. That's, you know, I don't think that they're at a point where, you know, he does say it's so nice when we can sit with someone, when you can sit with somebody and not have to talk. And then she goes, "Hmm." So, I think it. You know, they're trying to show the uncomfortableness of this. You know, and think about it. They're only at the salad right now. I wonder what's going to happen the rest of this meal. You know, we don't get the pleasure of seeing what happens throughout the rest of this meal. We only get to see what happens to them in this particular case. You know, when they're eating their salad. Yeah. But
and you kind of have excuse of, well, you know, we're eating, we're doing something else with our mouths at the moment other than talking. But if you know, if there's a break, like, you know, if there's a break between the salad and when the entrees come, or if they bring the entrees out right away, but if they have to wait for dessert or the, you know, coffee or something, you know, yeah, how much more uncomfortable would it be when they're not eating and not talking?
Yeah. I mean, but again, they're both very uncomfortable here. You know, they play it well, that you can tell that neither one of them really wants to be having this conversation, really wants to be in the other's company. Mm-hmm. during the whole thing. So, and Sally like smiles as he says it and sort of agreeing with him. And then the scene changes and we're back in Central Park again. We haven't been in Central Park in a few weeks. And so we're back in Central Park, but this time instead of it being Harry and Sally in Central Park, it's Harry and Jess. And they're like speed walking in Central Park. That's what it looks like they're doing. And it's their outfits are hilarious. They're
The spandex, the very tight pants that they're both wearing,
yes.
very strange for, yeah, I
For
mean
two.
they're not out of shape, but they're middle-aged men, and like you said, they're not, they're not running, they're not even jogging, they're speed walking, but yet
Actually, I
they've
wouldn't
got,
even call it, I just watched it again. It doesn't look like they're speed walking. They're just walking. They're walking a
they're
little
just
faster
walking.
than, no, they're walking a little faster than one would walk, but they're also not speed walking, at that point.
They're just walking fast, but they've got, high tech pants that they're wearing, I guess, for wind resistance. They got to just glide through
Yeah.
the air there.
Right. Do you know another name for speed walking?
No, I think
It's
speed
also
walking's bad enough. What else can you call it?
known as power walking.
Power walking, there you go.
Yeah, which is usually, people are walking fast and they can go in general between 7 and 9 kilometers an hour, which is 4.5 to 5.5 miles per hour. And for it to be known to for it to qualify as being power walking as opposed to jogging or running, at least 1 foot must be in contact to the ground at all times. Meaning, you can't have any you can't have your foot in the air too long for it to be counted as part of that. In the Berlin Marathon in 1999, they actually added a division for power walking. While you're doing the marathon and stuff like that. And there are apparently rules for doing power walking. The walker must walk straight. The walker must walk doing an alternating movement of feet and arms. The walker must walk with 1 foot in permanent contact with the ground. The leading leg must be bent. Each advancing foot strike must be heel to toe at all times. The walker must walk not doing an exaggerated swivel to the hip, and the arms spread completely from the elbows, and these move back. It's pretty funny. There are even like world's records that they have, like, a category of world records of people, doing power walking.
Yeah, I mean
So
that's how I kind of know this, yeah, from the Olympics, and it's
the
yeah,
Olympics
I've
has
been used
power
to watching
walking?
people. I don't know if it's currently. I know at one point it was an Olympic event, like long distance power walking, and yeah, they had people around the course. People would get disqualified, if the the knee wasn't at the proper angle, or they weren't going heel to toe properly. It's kind of new. Yeah, one of the big ones was you have to have at least 1 foot on the ground at all time versus,
Sounds like
like
those those jitterbug contests, like that they had on Happy Days, and where if you stop for a second, they tap you out, that type of thing. I don't know. So apparently the world's record, or actually here I'll ask you. So they have five different categories of speed walking. There's 5 kilometer, 10 kilometer, half marathon, 30 kilometer, and marathon. Okay. How long do you think the record is for someone to power walk 5 kilometers? Okay, 5 kilometers is about 3 miles.
5 kilometers power walk.
Yeah.
So running, someone could probably run it, like someone, who's in shape, not me. If you run that in 15, a power walk, I don't know, maybe like 21, 22 minutes. Am
So
I, how far off am I?
you're very close. The record for men is 23 minutes, and the record
Okay.
for women is 28.
28.
The record for men was established in 2003. So think about it. It's been 20 years. Nobody is able to power walk faster. Maybe people just don't want to power walk. That could be is also, I don't know. And so 10 kilometers is just about double that. So the men's is 46 and change. And the woman's is 56 and change. The half marathon for men is an hour and 43 minutes, and for women is slightly under 2 hours. 30 kilometers for men is 2.5 hours, and for women is 3 hours. And then a marathon for a man is 3 hours and 41 minutes, and for a woman is 4 hours and 12 minutes. I mean, it always amazes me that people,
Okay.
actually have records for everything. It's like,
There's a record for everything. Yeah.
apparently. Yeah. So the two of them continue walking or power walking through Central Park, and Harry goes, "It's just like most of the time you go to bed with somebody. She tells you all of her stories. You tell her your stories. But with Sally and me, we've already heard each other's stories. So once we went to bed, we didn't know what we were supposed to do, you know?" I mean, I think that this whole idea has a very big fallacy in it, because he's basically saying that once you're married, you have nothing to talk about. That's my interpretation of what he's saying.
Yeah,
You know, because.
that was my thought. Because yeah, obviously what he said, there's a certain truth of that. If it's like you just met someone, you're picking someone up at a bar or something, and like this is, you kind of just met them and you kind of get right into a romantic or a sexual relationship. But yeah, what happens if, it's not the first night and you've been married to someone or you've been with someone for a long time? Does that mean you have nothing to say? You've heard all each other's
Exactly.
stories.
Exactly. I mean, I've personally been married just about 13 years, okay? And there's tons of stuff that comes up all the time that I mentioned to my wife, or that she mentions to me, that either we didn't tell that story before or forgot that someone told the story. It just sounds new. So it doesn't, and obviously you have new stories every day about things that happen. So I don't know. I guess you can say that it does make sense for Harry to make a comment like this, because of the fact that he slept with everybody in New York, that he has to start dating women from New Jersey. So, that could be. So as they're walking through the park, we actually can see like this fountain. Are you familiar at all with Central Park?
A little bit, and I know that this particular area and this particular fountain has been in many films, has appeared many times. So although I'm not sure exactly where in Central Park this is.
Okay, so it is the fountain is the Bethesda Terrace and Fountain, and it's on the southern shore of the lake in Central Park, and the statue on top of the fountain is known as the Angel of the Waters statue.
Angel of the Water.
Yeah, so this was actually established. It was created in 1858. This was one of the things that they that when they were creating Central Park, that's one of the things that they put in there. I mean, that's pretty amazing that it's been there for so long. I mean, they finished installing the terrace itself in 1863, during the Civil War. But it was in the original
Oh,
plan,
this.
stuff like that. So it took them a while to get it completed. It was completed in 1873. Everything. So it took them close to 15 years to get it all taken care of.
Okay, so this is good. Let's go back a ways.
Yeah, the statue itself is an 8-foot statue made of bronze that depicts a female winged angel touching down upon the top of the fountain, where water spouts and cascades into an upper basin and then into the surrounding pool. Below her, there are 4-foot cherubs that represent temperance, purity, health, and peace. So it's pretty interesting that that they have that there, that they walk through it. I think I mentioned at one point over the course of this season that Central Park is one of the most filmed parks, or one of the most filmed sites in the world, during movies, which obviously makes sense, because there's a lot to do there. Jess then basically turns to him and gives him an answer and goes, "Sure, Harry." Now, I don't buy his "sure, Harry." I think he's basically saying whatever. It doesn't sound as if he's so, he it doesn't sound as if he's really agreeing with Harry here. I think he's pandering to him. Just says, "All right, fine. If that's what you think, no problem." What
Yeah,
do you
no,
think?
I agree. I mean, I think, yeah, no, as sort of the man, as Harry's friend, like he's not gonna take he's not gonna say something, he's not gonna kind of take Sally's side or challenge his friend on this point. But yeah, he doesn't sound like he's entirely sold. He's just, kind of, he feels, this is, Harry's in one of his moods where he's got to talk and he's got to get it out. So Jess is kind of going to go along with almost anything Harry says. He's just kind of yeah.
Right. Pretty much.
Sure, Harry, whatever you say.
Right. And then Harry says, I don't know. Maybe you get to a certain point in a relationship where it's just too late to have sex, you know? And, that's where it ends this minute. So, again, I don't completely agree with Harry's statement here. I think he's partially talking out of anger here or disappointment, by the way that he's trying to, brush off the fact that his friendship with Sally, is at least for the time being, on the bends. It's not something that's really working out for them because of this, because of everything that happened with them. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I think Harry's trying to convince himself that, because he's in, he's not really sure where this relationship is. Clearly, the romantic encounter has changed, has affected the friendship with Sally. And, they haven't fully committed to being, a couple, to being together, but they don't know where they are as friends. And, there's a little bit. I think Harry is just kind of throwing stuff out there to see what sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I the last part of that conversation, actually, the scene changes and they're walking through the rain where Harry is just has his baseball hat on and Jess is holding a newspaper over him. And what stood out for me is when they were talking. So in the background, you see this van, this red van. That says on it Ace Sound. And if you look carefully, it says Sales Rentals Installations Surveillance Systems. And then it has a phone number. I actually looked up that phone number and this company is apparently still around. Okay. It's called Ace Audio Visual Company. But to me, it's, what stuck out was the fact that, it's a surveillance company. So could it be that someone's, following Harry and Jess around? do we have a bunch of sweaty FBI guys, drinking coffee that they're in this van trying to listen in on Harry and Jess's conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thought would be surveillance maybe just means like security systems for a business or something, security cameras, but though security is different than surveillance indeed. Yeah. So maybe, correct. We talked earlier how we weren't exactly sure what Jess did, we know he's a writer. Maybe he, it was Marie. We couldn't remember what she did.
Maybe Marie is keeping tabs on Jess.
Maybe she works for the FBI or the CIA, like some intelligence agency, and she's not sure what Jess is up to. He says he's out power walking with Harry, but who knows? So I'll get my surveillance experts on the case.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I did a quick search and I actually found, a bill from the Ace Audio Video Company. And so on this bill, it says some really interesting things, that not just what's written there is funny, because we can see the date and everything like that. This is from the 7th of May, 1989, and it says what this person bought and stuff like that. But it says on the bottom, Ace Sound has no insurance on any equipment. A rental day is 24 hours. Equipment held past that time will incur additional charges. We'll show you how to operate or operators available. Cassette recorders, Lensac recorders, Ampex recorders, interview tape recorders, mobile systems, PA systems, conference recorders, power megaphones, lecterns, phonographs, carousel projectors, screens, motion picture projectors, videotape recorders, closed circuit TV systems, and color and black and white TV sets. So I just found that interesting that that's printed on their receipt. And then it says for additional legal information, see reverse side.
Yeah.
So I just found this to be funny that it's amazing the things you can find on the internet these days.
Indeed. Oh, that internet.
Yeah. And one of the things that I forgot to mention before, so on the commentary, when Rob Reiner, so the commentary is with Rob Reiner, Nora Ephron, and Billy Crystal. And there's another commentary just with Rob Reiner that most of the time he's just silent the whole time. But when he's with the other two, they have some great conversations. And when they're doing the power walking, so Rob Reiner says, you know, they started talking about the pants. And Rob Reiner says, oh, it doesn't matter. You both have great asses anyway. So Billy Crystal had a good laugh on that one. That Rob Reiner seems to think he has a nice ass. But the funniest thing to me about that line is that in Sleepless in Seattle, he says the same thing to Tom Hanks.
So he just says that to all his leading men.
Apparently. Sometimes on camera, sometimes off.
They're not bad. I mean, for a couple middle-aged comedians,
Right, Billy Crystal is about 40 when this was being filmed. Because he was born in 48. So this was filmed maybe in 88, 80, you know, late 88, early 89, you know, that type of thing.
I mean, and those walking pants, they're not forgiving. They show everything. And
No.
that's nothing to be ashamed of there. Nothing wrong with
That's very true.
that.
All right, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
Nope, nothing. You know, I'll just say no. I'll say no for now.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. So, the truth is, this part of the script has an entirely additional scene that's not in the movie.
Oh
All
my,
right.
deleted scene.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah. So, first of all, it expands on Harry's comment where he says it's so nice that you can sit with someone and not have to talk. So in that's what it says in the movie, in the script, it adds in, it just shows how really comfortable you are. And then it says, hold on the scene as they go on eating in silence. So, I mean, I'm glad they cut that out because it's something that's self-explanatory. We can see how uncomfortable they are. So you don't really have to see him, you don't have to hear him say that we're very comfortable, even though they're not.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. And then after that, they actually have another documentary footage of a couple sitting there on the couch. Okay, in the movie we're done with them. There are no more, if I remember correctly, except for the final one. And so they have an additional one here where the woman says, what happened? And this is a very long monologue, which I'm assuming is one of the reasons they cut it out. So bear with me just for a few seconds here. What happened was I went to the movies, a matinee of It Happened One Night, and just as the scene where Claudette Colbert hikes up her skirt to get a ride, the projector broke. If that projector did not break right then, I would never have been on the 313 trolley heading home, which I was. And who should sit next to me but my friend Louise? She says to me, let's go get an ice cream soda at Walgreens. We always went to Walgreens. So we get there, we sit down at the counter, and I say, let me have a black and white. That's a chocolate soda with vanilla ice cream. And you know what the guy says to me? We're out of vanilla ice cream. How can you be out of vanilla ice cream? So Louise says, order something else. But my heart is set on the black and white. So we go over to Armstrong Schroeder, where you should know I never went in my whole life before or since. So there we are, drinking my black and white, when who should walk in but my brother's friend Stanley, who's just bought a new car, a Duesenberg. He tells me, come to the street and see it. So there I am looking at the car, when who should come up but this handsome man, indicating the old man sitting next to her, who says, that's a beauty. What kind is it? A Duesenberg, I tell him. So if it wasn't for a broken projector, I would be sitting here talking to you alone. And then the man says, I was just walking down the street. So first of all, I like the story overall. I know it doesn't work in the movie, but it's a fun story to listen to. You know, that she's just basically, you know, up until now, we don't have any of them where the woman is just rambling on, and that's what this is. This is the rambling on. You know, documentary couple where she's just rambling, 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 and he has one little line where he says, I was just walking down the street.
So yeah, I can kind of see. Yeah, you can cut that, but
Yeah, I
it's a
understand why
cute
they cut it.
story. It's cute.
And then there's one other line at the end, which Harry says in the movie, he says, I don't know, you get to a certain point in a relationship where maybe it's just too late to have sex. And in the script, it's I don't know. You get to a certain point in the relationship where maybe it's just too late to have sex. You know, it's sort of like incest. So I'm really glad they cut that out. That just makes no sense whatsoever.
So is there a certain point in the relationship where it's too late to have incest? Is that
Apparently.
idea? I did. Don't know. I'm not sure if I
According,
want to know where they were going with
yeah, exactly. Apparently, that's what Rob Brenner and Nora Ephron thought. And they probably, when they were filming, said, "Wait a second, maybe we should take that out."
Yeah. Second
I
thoughts on that.
was hoping that in the commentary they would mention something about that, but no, not mentioned at all. Everyone just forgot that that happened. Let's just forget about it.
Yeah, that's probably some things better left forgotten.
Yeah, completely. All right, so every Tuesday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Dating Courting Edition, where my guests will give a story, adventure, misadventure, anecdote, something that happened to them over the course of their life that is somehow related to either dating or courting. So, Sean, you have a story for us?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's I don't know if this qualifies as a story, but I have a bunch of words that I will say that you will listen to.
Okay.
And some are related to this minute, which is due to my set of equivocation earlier when you asked if I had any more on the minute, which the honest answer would have been yes, I have more on the minute, but I'm going to save it for this segment. So Harry says maybe you get to a certain point in a relationship where it's just too late to have sex, you know? And that's relevant to the relationship I have with my wife. And so we met, and I don't think we agree. We've told the story, we've gone back and forth, and we're not sure, or we disagree. I think we met sometime early in 1993. She thinks it was 92. But in any case, at some point we met, and it was not until several years later that we became, sort of a couple. We started dating as a boyfriend and girlfriend. We were friends for about 5 years, 4 or 5 years. It wasn't until 1997 when now we do agree on those dates. So yeah, it wasn't until about 5 years later that we became, romantically involved and became a couple, and eventually moved in together in 1998, and then were married in 2002. So it was, I mean, not quite as long as it's been for Harry and Sally. I think through the various, cuts in time that we've seen, it's been more than 5 years. I think, are we up to 10 years
Right
after they
now,
first met?
it's been, I think, 12 years.
12, yeah, 12 years.
11 and a half, 12 years, that type of thing.
Well, though they met, they had the one ride, and then they didn't see each other for a few years.
No, so it was 1977 they had the ride, and then in 1982, then 5 years later, so 1982 was when they met on the plane, and then it said 5 years later they met in the bookstore.
They met in the
Okay, so
bookstore.
that's already fall 1987, and then now we'll find out later this week that we're pretty much a year later. So it's been 11 years.
But it's only been about a year, or maybe a little bit more, that they've been friends and they've been
Correct.
interacting on a regular basis.
That's
But
correct.
yeah, so it's so they've been friends for a while, and then they have sex, and now Harry's kind of maybe second thoughts or just wondering if it was too late. But yeah, so I was friends with my wife for about 5 years before before we became before we became a couple, before we had any kind of romantic interactions. At all. And the fact that as of recording, it's been a little bit over 20 years that we've been married. So
Congrats.
I don't think you do reach a point where it's too late. I don't think it's, it's never too late, maybe.
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, we both
But
disagreed with
in a
Harry
relationship,
before.
yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time Harry was wrong. But
That is correct.
yeah. So So that's my off the beaten track story
Okay,
as it is.
great. That's a great story. Thank you very much for that, Sean.
Thank you.
Would you like to tell people how they can find Sean German?
Sure. So I'll talk about I've done some other Movies by Minute podcasts. I've covered movies the same way that Movie Rob here is covering Harry Met Sally. One film I covered was This Is Spinal Tap. which I covered with a great co-host, Heidi Bennett. That's over at spinaltapminute.com. And I think we've got some social media going on at under Spinal Tap Minute. But yeah, so check that out at Spinal Tap Minute. Again, you know, we cover the great film, This is Spinal Tap, 1 minute at a time. And actually one of the, I was going to say one of the stars of that film, not a star of the film, but
I don't know if he's a star. He's a mime.
Mimes can be stars, but also appearing in that film, someone who may come up, later, in another episode, this week, is Billy Crystal. So we can talk more about that then, but, yeah, for now. So check that out at SpinalTapMinute.com.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movierobminutes.com. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you, had to be you.